WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo!
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, bitch. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you millionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
To another edition of WrestleTalk Radio right here at WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by iBlack and also PWMania.com. It is I, the man who scored himself a press pass the other day, Mace. Joining me tonight is the lovely and gorgeous Lindsay Ward.
Aw, thanks for stroking my ego.
Now here, have a kitty.
Yay, kitty!
And for those of you who are wondering if Omega will be joining us. He will, but he's taking care of some personal business at the moment and will join us when he can. But in the meantime, we're going to replace him with a Canadian, and that being the man who rarely shows his face on this network, Mr. Tim Stein!
Well, yeah, I rarely show my face on this network, mainly because there's no place to put my face, and we don't want the website that was so meticulously put together to melt now, do we, Mace?
Well, it's also because it's radio and we can't actually see your face either.
Yes, that's right. I know it took a really long time for you to get around to telling everybody that you think that I have a face for radio, and thank you very much for that.
My name is not Johnny Devine.
Appreciate it.
I will not be stealing his jokes because I know he will kick me in the nuts.
Well, that's actually not his joke. It was stolen by him from other people. So you're entitled to actually make the joke and not beat around the bush.
And the show comes to a halt.
Oh,
yeah, because I decided to eat when I didn't want to follow up Tim's joke.
Yeah, thanks a hell of a lot. And thanks a lot, Rock. Appreciate that. Get that thing the fuck off the player. There's no reason for that to be there. Sort of put my face on the
player. We want people to be attracted to this show, not run away from it.
Of course, there's a lot of people tuned in right now on PW Mania. Thank you, everybody over there, for joining us. Stay tuned, it's going to be a bumpy ride. If you feel like interacting with us, we've got a couple of ways for you to do so. I do believe there's like four different ways. You can, well, even more than that, you can tweet, you can email, or you can pick up the telephone and dial 267-297-1397. We here at the WrestleTalk Radio Sunday Night Show would be more than happy to bring you on and talk about pretty much just anything you want to bring up. Do a bit of an open forum thing. If you have Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin. That's SIRROCKIN. And he'll pop you up and bring you on the show, and we'll interact with you. The other way you can do it is actually go to wildtalkradio.com and join us in our interactive live chat room. Mace, I do believe you're in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm hiding in there.
I'm in there, and you'll never know which one I am until I actually say something. And, of course, the producer, Rockin' Sock, is in the chat room as well. So,
Rock can just tell us which one you are, because he gets to see all the nice IP addresses.
Well, yeah, but, you know, and he's going to tell you that I'm that guy, but I might change, and I know how to do it, because I have capabilities that way.
Is that your superpower?
It's my superpower, changing my identity in chat rooms. It's not much of a superpower, and admittedly, it's not Five Moves of Doom, but
yeah,
I can say
John
shit
Cena
and then fuck off.
That.
You know, yeah, so... Speaking about John Cena, why don't we recap really quickly what happened last Monday night? Big, big, big deal in the world of WWE.
Okay, let's.
The Raw 1,000th broadcast. 1,000 episodes. Do you know how long it would take you to watch every single episode of Raw back to back from 1 through 1,000?
80-something days, wasn't it?
Probably a lot shorter than people realize, because originally Raw was only 45 minutes without commercials.
So, thanks for keeping it real, Mace. So,
hey, what can I say? You know, I suddenly learnt through the ability of watching WCW Nitro episodes that really, when they say a 3-hour show, they really mean 2 hours, 15 minutes.
And the 45 minutes are commercials? What?
Something along those lines.
Yeah. So, I read on a few different forum postings that there are some people that were extremely hopeful that Raw would peak around ratings of 5.0. Now, this doesn't really affect me or you, Mace, because we're not Americans, so we don't count. But I'm not too, you know, I'm not too surprised that the actual ratings that they did garner, of course, Nielsen ratings, if you look at all 3 hours, they wound up with 3.48 first hour, 3.95 second hour, and a 4.09 final hour. Now, if you throw out the first hour, the regular time slot scored a 4.02. As
which
far,
has been WWE's highest rating in what? It's 5-6 years?
Since 2009.
Okay, so 3 years.
Yep. Which is
I'm sorry, I'm looking at all these nice little screenshots and everything that I just got sent by THQ.
Why would you be given screenshots from THQ?
You'll find out later.
That's right,
because
we will.
He's awesome like that.
Yeah, he's awesome like that. Yeah, you're gonna find out a little bit later on exactly what he's hinting at, everybody. So stay tuned for that one. So, yeah, no, the audience for the Raw 1000 was really good for WWE, considering where they've been the past couple of years, like very low threes, and then more than just a couple of episodes, the high twos. Does this mean that they're bringing back some, that they've been able to bring back some of their audience share? Will they be able to hold on to any of these people that came back to check out Raw 1000?
Or very few.
It's going to be a very limited selection that stick around from this point on. A lot of people only tuned in because it was Raw's 1,000th episode, and a lot of people went, hey, I remember, I used to watch that. They come, they watch, they hit the high rating. But at the same time, I don't think there was really anything there that was going to let people stick around or want to tune in next week.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but watching the show last week, the 3 hours did not feel like it was 3 hours. It was very well paced. It was, you know, the weak segments were stronger than some strong segments we've seen in past episodes. And the strong segments were all pop worthy because of the nostalgia that it brought up. Would you not agree?
I would, but at the same time, the real test comes this week, because this is the week that everybody's not going to be there when we're back to your regularly scheduled Raw, but except it's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So they kind of got it a little bit easy in some aspects, because they brought all those people in for the show, and so they could just put them in segment after segment after segment, and they could fill the show up relatively easily.
Yep.
This week, they don't have all those additional people and all those big names, short of really Triple H and the normal roster members, aren't there.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock's not going to be there. The Undertaker's not going to be there. Foley's probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
Brock's not going to be there. So it's, this week is the real test as far as ratings and viewers to see how they do with it.
Okay, so you can't really base anything off this special edition of Raw that was on 6 nights ago. The real test, as you say, Linz, begins tomorrow night. What kind of a panic mode do you figure these guys are going to go into if the first hour draws a 2.9?
I would say somebody's getting drunk and Vince is probably throwing shit. That would be my guess.
Thoughts, Mace?
Let's go with what Lindsay said.
Very eloquently put. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Fabulous. It's gotta be what the fucking broad said.
Excuse me.
Composure, Tim.
It's just, don't do that voice again. That's all. Just don't do that voice again.
Do it. Do it, do it.
Yeah, we should try to talk him into doing the entire show in that voice, shouldn't we, Lindsay?
Oh, fuck off.
I wouldn't say the entire show, but at least do it again.
You heard what he muttered under his breath when I said that, right?
No.
He told me where to go.
Yeah, but he always tells you where to go.
Well, yeah, but usually he's not so quiet and whispery about it.
It's a special occasion.
I see. Okay. Well, we'll put that in the best of series. But when you look at it overall, what do the ratings translate into? Well, they averaged 6.32 million viewers in the second hour, stayed very even with an average of 6.3 million third hour viewers. The first hour was 5.44 million. What, did the rest of these people who didn't catch the first hour, they forget that it was on or something?
Possibly. I mean, it could also be that, you know, a lot of people just, like you said, forgot, or they've been living under a rock, or there were other things going on. I mean, most people are used to Raw starting at 9.
9 Eastern, so when, yeah.
So when three-hour Raws come along, it's usually, okay, it's a three-hour Raw, I could probably still catch the last 2 hours and it'll be fine.
Yeah, and then when you look at it, that time normally starts at 9 Eastern, which is 7 o'clock Mountain Time and 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That makes it 5 o'clock Pacific Time. I'm pretty sure that a lot of regular Raw viewers could possibly still have been at work or stuck in traffic on the way home.
Oh, easily.
So there's a whole bunch of different things you can account for that. That thing's, you know, with that idea in mind, should they maybe start at the regular time and put the third hour at the end? Instead of starting an hour earlier, or is that too late?
Hell no.
No, that's too late.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not sticking around that long to do the Raw post show after Raw Monday night right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Nice plug, Mace. Good job. So, okay, well, Lindsay, tell me what some of your favorite Raw 1000 moments were.
You have to ask. You really have to ask.
Go ahead and squee over B.O.D.
Screw B.O.D., we got Taker. Despite his ugly-ass hair, we got Taker. I'm happy. That's what
Taker
I wanted.
With the wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. And his little hood. And see, this is why you don't shave your head the day before you're going to do a show. Because then sticks to it.
Yeah, I'd rather have the girls have a wardrobe malfunction. At least that way we might get a chance to see boobies.
Why, they're not real.
I don't care. They're only fake on the inside. Right, Mace?
Don't bring me into this.
Oh, you wuss.
Yeah, why are you whooping out? You got a girlfriend listening or something?
No. No, I just know better that when Lindsay wants to argue about something, you step back and let her go.
Just let her go, and that's all there is to it. Okay. That just makes it...
Let her go.
That's boring.
You ever tried stopping another woman that wants to fight? I don't want that type of damage, thank you very much.
Well, it's not like I'm going to take your face off. I'll go for the chest.
I'm meaning my nuts. Women's first target on guys is always the nuts.
Okay, there you go. Okay, aside from Undertaker, Lindsay, a couple of things that caught your eye.
It made me happy to see DX at the start. It really got the warm and fuzzies going as far as that was concerned, because when I first started watching, which was only, 10, 12 years ago,
yep.
Which isn't that long, but it's not in comparison to some people that have watched this since they were two, it was DX, that version minus Sean of DX was what was on. So to see Road Dogg and Mr. Ass and X-Pac and Hunter and Sean all together doing the DX bit really made me just, laugh and enjoy it. And it's like it took you right back to where they wanted you to go, that whole nostalgia feel. And then I have to admit, I absolutely loved when Stephanie came out and just smacked the shit out of Paul Heyman, even if it was completely hypocritical.
Oh, I had a lot of fun watching her just go ballistic. It's fun when Stephanie makes her appearances and somebody hands her a mic and lets her go. Mace, what about you? What were some of your favorite Raw 1000 moments?
Well, let's see. Where do I start? Might as well start with the beginning of the show. DX was absolutely hilarious, especially yep. Hunter's little quip about, being the only one left with hair. And just watching all the other guys in the background just piss themselves laughing. The return of Mae Young's child.
That had me laughing my ass off.
The hand returns, all grown up.
Yep.
I will admit I actually enjoyed Bret Hart introducing the IC title match.
You're kidding. Really?
And his opponent, The Miz.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, at least he carried the whole thing over from, when it was Miz and what's-his-name versus, the Hart Legacy. So he kept that going, yeah. But now that we have Omega on the show, Omega, what were some of the happenings of Raw 1000 that you enjoyed?
Well, a lot of it's been covered. Likewise, I pissed myself when Mae Young's hand came out.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how much, just like that they remember little moments like that. Like, we had the moment backstage of Trish and Triple H reversing their role that they were in last time we saw them backstage together.
Yeah.
And the one that made me smile was the return to the APA.
Oh, that was good. One word. Damn.
No, I was more along the lines of one word.
Ouch! About a stiff clothesline.
I loved that cell. Just straight up in the air on his head.
Well, Mace, you've been in the ring, you've been on the receiving end, and you've delivered one or two clotheslines. Just how hard did JBL deliver that thing?
He put a lot more force than he needed to into that. So, as much as it was hilarious to see Slater go straight up, headstand, and drop back down, that was definitely assisted by the force that JBL put into that clothesline.
One of the stiffest in the business, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
His head is still attached.
Yeah, no kidding. Anybody besides me wondering who the hell Hacksaw Jim was talking to when they first opened the door?
No, I thought that as well.
I was like, who the hell was he talking to? Talk to you later. Okay. Okay, so, so everybody's pretty much unanimous on what they loved about Raw 1000. What was the biggest disappointment, Mace?
as much as I hate to sound like some of the other radio shows out there, I was pretty disappointed with the lack of Stone Cold.
Okay.
As much as I understand why he wasn't available, it would have been nice to have at least gotten something on the lines of a video from him.
Yeah. But you didn't feel any need to go on a 5-minute rant about it.
No.
Okay.
No, it was like the tiniest of nitpicks on a pretty good show.
Yeah. Anything else that just didn't work for you, or is that pretty much it?
Could have done without The Rock going, "I'm going to the Royal Rumble." But then again, we all know how I feel about The Rock.
Yeah, I was about to say that's a bit of a given considering your feelings. Omega, what about you?
To be honest, my two biggest nitpicks are they seem to have their own little topics in our run sheet for the night, so I'm kind of at a loss for that question.
I see.
At least not that I will divulge immediately, that is.
Oh, so you're playing your hand close to the chest. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. We'll revisit it when we hit the things on the run sheet then. Lindsay?
I have to say that The Rock's announcing he's going to the Royal Rumble, that was probably the biggest disappointment, just because it's like, really? You're just going to have him walk out and say it? I mean, I understand he's going to shoot movies, but there was a much better way you could have done that, because, I mean, nobody's going to remember come the Rumble that he's going to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those fans that you brought in for this one show 6 months from now aren't going to remember in January, or 5 or 6 months, you know, in January, basically, that he's going to be there. So it's, you could have had The Rock announce, "Oh, hey, I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble." And that's all you had to say. And then, I don't know, maybe have him earn a title shot and actually build a storyline off this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was what it was. I mean, I guess I was also a little disappointed with the lack of them highlighting their current stars. I mean, it was great to see all the old guys, but I would have liked to have seen more of the current roster mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
Just to highlight those guys and give those guys a rub, because it's like, you had your champions on the show, and some of them weren't even recognized really as champions. They didn't have their belt. Like, Layla was there, she didn't have the belt.
Yeah.
As far as I remember, you know, you had Kofi Kingston on, he didn't have the belt. R-Truth didn't have his belt. I think Santino did. I know Punk did. I know Sheamus did. But, you know, it's like, if you're going to have your champions be on your show, at least make them have their title belt with them. So they're at least recognized as your current champion. So, you know, if you do attract any of those old viewers back, they know who your champions are.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's understandable. So overall, the nice moments compared to the disappointments, basically Raw comes out on top overall. Would you all agree? Raw comes out a winning show as opposed to an also-ran for their 1,000th episode. Would you agree?
I liked it. Overall, I did like it.
Yeah, well, I don't really think that too many people had too much of a problem with the show in its entirety overall. So,
I believe, as we said during the Raw post-show, it's not so much enjoying this week. We all enjoyed this week. Well, this past week. It's what's going to happen tomorrow night that's going to see whether last week was a success or not.
Yeah.
Now, did anybody keep count of how many actual wrestling matches they had on Raw 1000?
Four.
They had four matches in 3 hours.
I think. I wasn't actually keeping count. Somebody get us Alan Wojcik.
Yeah, Alan was counting. Alan Wojcik on Kayfabe Radio, Tuesday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, simulcast on pwmania.com. Check him out for all your news and information. But I guess Alan was all complaining and stuff.
Can I rant on that just a little bit?
I think that it's time for a Lindsay rant. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by PWMania.com.
I mean, it's not so much a rant, but I think that's just the one thing that's really irritating me coming out of Raw 1000 is all these people bemoaning the fact that there wasn't as much wrestling as they would have liked. Here's the thing. One, it's a three-hour Raw. Two, it's a gimmick Raw. So we all know from the past, three-hour gimmick Raws don't have a lot of wrestling. They focus on whatever the gimmick is. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did. They focused on celebrating 1,000 episodes of Raw. So, you know, the fact that you walked in expecting it to be a 20-match card or whatever is ridiculous. I mean, we called it on the rack. It's going to be a lot of segments, not a lot of in-ring action. You're going to see a lot of cameos. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I guess it's irritating me that all these people expecting a wrestling show when it's a celebratory show.
It's a pat on the back collectively from the company to itself is what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
otherwise, a company-wide circle jerk.
Yes.
Pretty much. So that's just irritating to me. I mean, I get you wanted to see wrestling. Fine. Great. I have no problem with that. But don't expect it for this show. Just don't.
Well, absolutely. Can't disagree with you at all. And there is one thing I am disappointed in over what we've done so far tonight, Lindsay. I unofficially gave you a sponsor for Lindsay's rant, and you never even acknowledged it. That's so disappointing.
Sorry, who is my sponsor?
PWMania.com.
Go PWMania!
There you go. That's all you needed.
Sorry, I'm futzing around in Illustrator while I'm doing the show, so...
Futzing around.
Yes.
Futzing. Where does that word come from? Futzing.
My dad.
Okay. Futzing and fixing and stuff. Tell you what, we'll get back to that in a little bit. We've got a caller on the air. Hey, caller, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Clinton.
Clinton, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, that's good. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, mine is happened at 1000.
Okay. Talk about it.
Okay, but don't get me wrong, it was a great showing. The Mouse, there was one thing that I did not like.
And what was that you didn't like?
The question was robbed of his Intercontinental title by The Miz. Didn't they want Christian to lose the title? Shouldn't he have lost it to someone more deserving, like Tyson Kidd, or Justin Gabriel, or Zack Ryder?
Well, you can look at it that way as those guys are deserving of a title, but at the same point, you know, Miz having done everything that he's done and also having been gone away, at the same time, you got to remember that this is all part of something that's going to be, you know, continued on the next show and the show after that. They've got a place to get to with the Miz winning the Intercontinental title. That's what we should expect. And we should expect to find out exactly why they did that, right?
Yeah, I know that, but I don't think he's deserving of the Intercontinental Champion. Like, just because he did a movie, you think he deserves a point of championship?
Well, look at all the stuff.
They're waiting for their turn.
Yeah, okay. You're right. But they've got all these other guys in different programs doing their own thing right now. You have to take into account, you know, like, don't you think Miz has earned something for all of the work that he did before he took off to go be in this movie? You stop and you think about it, he was putting a lot of other talent over, as they say in the business, doing the job for like a year, getting other people going. And, you know, maybe it's WWE rewarding him for all that hard work and all that effort. What do you think?
I just don't think he deserves that kind of title. Matter of fact, I don't think he deserves to be WWE champion. Mm. I think he deserves it more than him.
Well, the biggest problem that we have right now with what they're doing with WWE Creative, Clinton, is none of us are on WWE Creative, so we don't really have any answers for you on that one. Tell you what, why don't you... let's see what plays out with The Miz and WWE for the next week. Call back next Sunday and see if your opinion changes. How's that sound?
And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, maybe they're going to wind up doing something, and you could change your mind.
All right, thank you for having me on. I just need that type of more.
Okay, Clinton, I don't know what's going on. The connection is really, really bad. Really having a hard time understanding what you're saying there. It's getting really garbled. Tell you what, we're going to let you go and move on, and hopefully things will clear up. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you for having me, and I'm calling you all the way from California.
Go California. All right. Hey, there's one listener, Clinton, on the telephone call. And don't forget, everybody, you can interact and bring up topics with us all night long just by calling the phone number 267-297-1397 or Skyping Sir Rockin'. And who knows, maybe we'll hear from somebody named Andy Steven at some point in time eventually. And he might have a few insights of his own. That being said, let's get back to where we were. Where were we? Biggest disappointment. Did everybody get a chance to voice their disappointments?
Yep. Even if we did, too late, music playing.
That's true. Music in the background means we're taking a first break of the night. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by iBlack.com. Check them out. Also, sponsored by PWMania.com. We'll be back right after this. I am the gate and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, I know you ask me. Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play. Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Fox. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is
deal.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Showtime, Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's me, your host, Tim Stein, along with the Mace Thing from Australia, Omega from Florida, and in a dry state, and she's not too happy about it, Lindsay Ward.
Nope, not in the least.
Well, Lindsay, I got a great idea.
Hmm.
I can't do anything about it because you're so far away, but I'm going to have a drink just for you. How's that sound?
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to have my spicy cinnamon booze mixed with club soda.
I have Jack Daniels, so I think mine trumps yours.
Well, I don't know about that, because my spicy cinnamon stuff mixed with the club soda is pretty goddamn good, you know.
So is my Uncle Jack.
Yeah, well, all right. You know what? Why don't we just call it a tie?
Okay, that works.
Oh, that works. All right. Speaking about what works, CM Punk turning heel. Is that going to work?
It depends on who they put him with and how they do it.
Yeah. Well, everybody, let's just go around the horn here. We'll start with Omega. Your thoughts on Raw's finish last week, Omega?
This is one of those things that really got on my nerves.
Okay.
WWE made a firm decision on Monday night. Here you had a guy who was finally a face that was putting out as much merchandise as John Cena. And you can't give it the ratings argument anymore, because in the recent storyline, he drew. So you can't even say that about him you can't even put that stigma on him.
Mm-hmm.
You finally had someone as popular in merchandise sales as Cena, more popular with the audience, who was actually a far more contemporary character that the WWE needs, and not some 80s Boy Scout throwback. And they had a decision. They could either turn Cena heel and finally change who he is and freshen him up for the first time in God knows how long.
Uh-huh.
Or they could play it safe, stay the course, and turn Punk heel after he was supposed to be the voice of the voiceless, you know, after he was the one who, rebelled against everything being the same, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, after he was basically everything that people have been wanting out of the WWE since everything became all about Cena. And of course, they played it safe. And we're going to get the exact same thing we've been getting for years now. They were staring at the perfect chance, the one chance they had of changing the face of the company, of actually going in a different direction, even if it's for a little while, and they balked.
So it's not so much that the decision to turn Punk heel as the decision to play the safe card and keep seeing a face that's got you a little bit with the bamboo shoots under the fingernails. That's what I'm picking up from you.
It just kind of grates on me that, you know, we're throwing away something that just magically happened. You know, Punk going over that big was not supposed to happen that way. It just did. They ran with it, and it was huge for them. And that's how the big legendary stars, that's how the big main eventers were created. Stone Cold was kind of an accident. Rock was kind of an accident. The people just started to respond to them, because they were impressed by how they worked, how well they performed. They just started to be liked. This happens to Punk, and they hit a reset button.
Okay.
A completely unnecessary one. When the reset button needs to be the one who's stale, because Mace would understand this. As far as reset buttons go, Cena is a very glitchy screen right now. Someone seriously needs to take him out, blow on him, and then try it again.
Keep going with the show. I'm just going to sit here and chuckle myself because I know exactly what he's meaning.
That's got to be some kind of an inside thing that you get, Mace, that the majority of people don't.
Basically, Omega was treating wrestlers like Nintendo cartridges.
Okay.
And just like anybody who owned a Nintendo back in the day knows, you're the only one who ever gets your games to work. So Vince McMahon needs to go and work out how to get his games working again.
So he's just got to take the cartridges known as John Cena out, blow on the little metal prongs on the bottom, and then reinsert them.
You know, sometimes, okay.
Now
sometimes
you just make that sound dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made it sound dirty. You're the one laughing. It was more innuendo when Omega said it.
But Omega was creative. There's a difference.
Well, okay, yes, Omega is very creative. And he was about to say something when I inadvertently cut him off. Continue, Omega.
I thought it was pretty much done with the whole Nintendo and blowing Cena, that kind of thing.
Pretty much done with blowing Cena? Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Can we agree that none of us want to blow Cena?
We can agree on that. I don't know about Rock, but we can all agree on that.
At least four of us agree on that, Lindsay.
Okay, good.
Oh, God, Omega. So I'm really glad you're on the show sometimes. You cheer me up.
And it's five. No. Thank you.
Okay, it's five. Rock just reaffirmed his... Never mind. Not even going to go there. Anyway, that's pretty much your thoughts on how Raw ended last week. Anything else to add at all?
On this current subject? No. Let someone move on and get their blowjob innuendos out of the way.
There you go. Well, that being said, it's Mace's turn to give us his take on the end.
Well, I found a nice little gif that just makes me really happy. It's CM Punk clotheslining The Rock and then beating the crap out of him. I could watch it all day. I really could. I could put the damn thing on repeat for 24 hours. I'll watch it with a smile on my face.
So that's basically your video clip on your smartphone when somebody calls you.
No.
No, okay. But it could
Omega pretty much hit the nail on the head there, you know. They're doing this for the sake of reaffirming Cena as your top face, even though CM Punk has been as popular, if not more so, than John Cena as a face character.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, I'm interested to see the reasoning behind this, because last time it was, you know, my contract is coming up, I'm going to make a lot of demands, give me my real music, give me some mic time. I want to see what the excuse is this time.
Okay. Understood.
But at the same time, I feel like that they're just going to use this as an opportunity to bury Punk, which I hate.
Okay. Lindsay.
And fuck The Rock.
There you go. Your turn, Linz. I'm pretty sure you're up now, Frank.
I'm still undecided on this. It could be really good, or it could be really bad. I like the fact that they're going to turn Punk heel, which would potentially get him out of Cena's shadow. Because let's face it, even as a heel, as a top face in the company, he's still behind John Cena. And look at it, he's been held out of the main event for how many pay-per-views now? It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, I would just like to see have Punk get the spotlight he deserves, if nothing else, and if they do it right, I think it could work. But I'd have to agree with everyone else. If you're going to hit a reset button, if you're going to change anybody, for fuck's sake, change John Cena. I'm so sick of the Boy Scout character. We got a little taste of change when he was going against The Rock, and it was kind of refreshing, but even still, I'd like to see him as a heel. I'd like to see him get serious and not play everything off like a joke.
Okay.
And not be a joke. I'd really like to see what they could do with him as a heel, and they kind of teased it. And I know we're never going to get the heel turn. I understand that. Let me just point that out point blank. I get we're not going to get the heel turn, but they teased it before WrestleMania. They've been kind of sort of teasing it by putting him in these storylines. But if nothing else, I want to see John Cena stumble and fall. If you want to keep him a face and you want to do something different with him, have him do a fall from grace. Mm-hmm. Everyone has one, where he stumbles and falls and he has to pick himself back up and he has to move forward. And they had a natural setup with it when they had him lose to The Rock, and they were having him go against Brock Lesnar, and we've all said it. He should have lost to Brock. Mm-hmm. And then you put him on a losing streak, and he's got to bring himself back up.
Well, putting him on a losing streak might take him out of the main event picture for a little while.
I mean, for me, Cena shouldn't even sniff the belt right now. He doesn't... To me, he doesn't need the belt. He's above it. He's that big of a name for that company. He doesn't need that belt for anything. It doesn't do anything for him at this point, other than it's a shiny accessory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see someone like Punk or Brian or anyone have that title and get something out of it. But at the same time, I don't want them to cheapen it so much that it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, I'm going to ask everybody, not just you guys, but everybody listening, who wants to see Rock Cena 2 at WrestleMania or any pay-per-view?
And that great round of silence will give you your answer.
I would figure that. See, what happened with the main event, the end of the main event, told me something. That they're setting up the Rock CM Punk for the WWE title and not Cena Rock 2 for the title. This is what I got from it. The other thing, all last year when we were waiting for the, you know, we're going through the build up, waiting for the match, Rock Cena, every time Cena came out, he was cutting heel promos on The Rock, but he was the baby face of the company every time else. And I said it last week, and I'm going to stick to my guns until I see what happens tomorrow night with CM Punk. I can see them not turning him complete heel on anything that does not involve Dwayne Johnson as The Rock. And so for me, yeah, frustrating that they're not turning Cena heel. It would be a way to, you know, dust off his character and refreshing him as a member of the roster. But I don't have a problem with them putting CM Punk against The Rock in a title match at one of the pay-per-views, as opposed to seeing a rehash of Cena Rock.
That's because it's something different and something we haven't seen yet.
So
but even people were clamoring for the idea of Daniel Bryan versus The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you an idea. People want to see something different.
Yeah. So can we not have CM Punk do what he did so we can get something different? Not talking about something different as Punk turns heel and is the top heel in the company, or at least for Raw, but CM Punk having done what he did to set up that match between those two.
Well, I mean, if he wanted to, you could have Punk just drop a pipe bomb on The Rock saying, basically, you know, F you, I'm so sick of you and your shit. Where you leave for 9 years, you come back, you get a main event match, and then you leave again and you come back and you get another main event match and you tease these people, you tease us, you're disrespectful in the locker room, all those kinds of things, and just kind of call him out on the shit, because Punk was doing that back around Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was coming out, except it was potentially shoot. And, you know, you take everything that they say with a grain of salt, but Punk was essentially shooting on the Rock back before Mania. Why not use some of that?
Well, maybe that's what they had planned all along, all the way back then. What do you think of that?
Too much credit. You're expecting these bozos to actually have a plan for longer than, you know, 2 minutes?
Well, it would be nice if they did.
Yes, it would be nice, but let's get logic, okay?
I give them some credit just because they booked the AJ storyline. So they do have some sense of long-term booking.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, whenever they do something long-term, people complain that there's no resolution coming soon. And then when they do something that's a quick blow-off, people bitch and complain that they didn't draw it out. Half the time it just comes across to me as it's a no-win situation for them.
It depends on how you do it. I mean, I will say, I will back Lindsay up on that. I mean, the AJ storyline, it did go on for quite a while. It did have multiple peaks before this, you know, she's now the GM climax that we have now hit, and the broken up wedding. That one was pulled off well, not perfect, because we didn't get the Harley Quinn angle we wanted.
I'm still holding hope. It's vain, but I'm still holding on to it.
But, you know, there is hope there, and that there is someone doing capable writing backstage, and please, dear God, let them book more.
Yeah, whichever monkey they gave the smart pills to, give them more.
Okay.
I don't care if we end up on Planet of the Apes.
There you go.
Make that monkey smarter.
This was like that the million monkeys or the million typewriters theory.
Eventually they'll come up with the works of Shakespeare. Right. Okay, so we saw Punk, the leader of the Straight Edge Society, just a couple years ago. Would you give him another faction if he, all out heel?
No.
So
that would be heel faction number 3 for him. At this point, I think it'd be hard to get recruiting with that kind of record. Mm-hmm.
So basically, with that resounding no, there's no reason to even contemplate who might be good in a stable with CM Punk.
Yeah, I mean, Punk at this point, he doesn't need a stable. It's not going to do anything for him. Other than it's a storyline, and some of the other guys might get a rub from it. Mm-hmm. Punk's better solo.
Plus, Punk doesn't need the backup that a group provides. If you've got a problem with Punk, go up and say something, take him on a match, he'll whoop your ass.
There you go.
That's what makes the character so watchable.
Okay. So, with all of that said, why don't we talk about Randy Orton?
Can we just skip him?
You don't want to talk about Randy Orton?
I don't want him to come back.
Well, he's coming back. Now, should he return as a face or a heel, Lindsay?
Can he just not return at all?
Sorry, it's happening.
Damn it! He's probably going back to SmackDown. Who the fuck do they have on SmackDown? That's Sheamus. They have Del Rio. I don't know. Tweener? I don't care. I really don't.
Okay. Omega.
I'm kind of in that same boat, except I think they don't have any choice because the talent pool, especially on SmackDown, is so thin. Here's the thing. I always think of SmackDown as being at a loss for any top heel because the best you got there is Del Rio, and when he's your best, good lord, are you in trouble. But you don't really have any God, you don't really have any top faces because, you know, they're letting most of them squander in the mid-card. Like, even Christian, former world heavyweight champion. No. I see belt feuds.
Okay.
It could work either way. They need... I'm not a fan of Orton much these days, especially with how many screw-ups he now has on his record. But at the same time, they actually need a name that people know right now.
Okay. Well, we got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
Speaking of a name people know, it's Eric Nordberg. Hello?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hang on just a quick second here.
Okay.
Just gulping my alcoholic beverage here, so now I'm doing a lot better.
What do you have in there?
It's spicy cinnamon and club soda.
Oh.
It's homemade. Like
is that like a liqueur?
Well, it's shit that'll get you drunk. That's all that matters.
Yes, you know. Well, I tell you what, I guess I get right to it, not waste your valuable time there, but have you seen The Dark Knight Rises yet?
No, and so don't talk about it.
Okay, that's fine. I can I tell you whether it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down there, so long as I don't give away any spoilers?
As long as you make it understood that that's just your opinion.
Okay, well, let me tell you what happened here. I went the first time I went to go see it, I got thrown out.
It looks like he got thrown out of the phone conversation as well. I don't know what happened.
God damn Skype.
We lost connection. You know, that's the thing with Skype. It's not 100%. Sorry about that. Anyway, moving on. Mace, what about you? What do you think? Randy Orton, heel or babyface?
Don't care.
Okay. And collectively, kids, who should he feud with upon his return?
Don't care.
If you have to care, I wouldn't. Even though they're throwing Ziggler in with Jericho, I wouldn't mind seeing, as far as a long-term feud, Ziggler going in with Orton. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're bringing Orton back face.
Okay. Omega, any opinions? Or do you not care either?
Huh?
Randy Orton. Do you care who he feuds with when upon his return or not?
As far as I know, he's only feuding with the back office, so...
Okay, so yeah, you know, Randy Orton, welcome back, whatever, just don't take too much time on our TV screens.
Again, it's just stale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least John Cena is a Boy Scout, but at least he has a personality to him.
There you go. Yeah, okay. Well, that being said, I think it's time we take our second break of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday night. Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And you know what? We're not going to take a break right now. We're going to actually talk about Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho. The question here is, will Y2J stay a heel or will he turn face long enough to give Dolph Ziggler a final push to elevate him into the top tier main event scene? What do you think, Mace?
Of course, you go to me while I was having a slice of pizza.
Well, I didn't realize you were eating pizza. Shame on you for not sharing.
But it's the magical food that tastes delicious, hot or cold. Just ask Omega.
Lifetime of study.
Yeah, that and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just ask
Mark
Henry.
What was the question again?
What are they going to do with Ziggler and Jericho? Does Ziggler become a good guy, or do they turn Jericho babyface long enough just to give Ziggler that final nudge into main event status, you know, that final rub, as it were?
Don't give a shit. Just let him go at it. This is, again, no, seriously, this is one of those bookings where you're sitting back going, I'm enjoying this. I don't really give a flying fuck. I have no opinion. I'm just enjoying the ride.
So you're just happy that these two have gotten put into a program together
and you're looking forward to what they can pull off with each other, and it doesn't matter who's the good guy or not.
Exactly. They could both be heels and still pull off great promos and great matches. That's what I'm looking forward to the most, is the matches between these two.
Well,
plus, you know, I'm also surprised that somebody's actually wearing Ziggler's pink t-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, you know, the thing about it is they're both heels currently, and they're both getting really, really good positive crowd responses. So this is going to be interesting, I think. You're right. Well, Lindsay.
I'm kind of in agreement with everybody else. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it, honestly. I mean, you know, you've got Ziggler who's solid on the mic. You've got Jericho who's solid on the mic. Jericho looks like he's going to go face, which I'm fine with. You've got, I mean, this is just going to be good. And I'm with everyone else. I anticipate just sitting back and enjoying the ride.
Okay. Omega.
Okay, number one, I vote that Tim Stein never be allowed to use the phrase, let's see what they pull off with each other again. Two.
Seconded.
Motion carried. Fuckers.
Two, while I am looking forward to this tremendously, I have to wonder, does Jericho really have enough influence to give a rub to Ziggler in at all anymore? Because he has what Ziggler was saying, which, by the way, best promo of his career. Like, okay, Sunday he wins Money in the Bank, but Monday is what proved to me that he was ready to carry a title.
By dissing Jericho the way he did.
Yeah, to go to Jericho, of all people, who can always cut a great promo and cut one that's just as good.
Mm-hmm. And basically left it so that, like, he left Jericho speechless with the impression Jericho didn't know how to respond to that. Mr. I'm never at a loss for words, Y2J.
Something of that nature, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's gonna be fantastic, but, well, yeah, it'd help Ziggler if he could get a win over Jericho and get that final push of credibility he needs before cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
I am left to wonder, it's just going to be another in Jericho's losing streak. Like, I know he's mostly back to push the younger talent at this point. At this point, his career has peaked, and it's time to give back. But he does have to win here and there in order to retain some of that credibility, and it's not happening lately.
Okay, well, the problem is, if he beats Ziggler, what does that do to Dolph?
He doesn't necessarily have to beat Ziggler, just not let Ziggler win right away.
Okay. Basically,
if Ziggler can't beat him without getting, you know, disqualified in a match, you know, if he gets caught on a low blow or getting desperate with something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ziggler will have to win out in the end, but it's got to make it, you got to look like Jericho is like his first foray into the big boy league.
Mm-hmm. And basically, he gets his ass handed to him in any different manner of ways, whether technically, legally, or illegally in the ring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Before he comes out on top, which is
right.
Basically, you know, that's your old style booking, school of booking right there. Where the guy about to take the next step has to go through the wall before he gets there.
But I could see it in a realm of Ziggler having to do things, you know, like hold the tights, which is an old classic that not very many people do these days. Or you
Missed
even
it.
Have... Or you even have Jericho put his foot on a rope at 3 and then cracks it and goes, you know, here's a replay, I want that decision reversed. For some reason, I could see this turning into, if anybody remembers, Jericho and Malenko for the WCW Cruiserweight belt.
To the Hall of Records.
Yes.
To the Library of Congress.
Yes.
Where
it
Jericho
would be silly
keeps taking
as hell,
it to a higher authority, yeah.
I could see that happening, and I could see that also benefiting Ziggler while keeping Jericho in that sort of like gateway to the main event status.
Bloody hell, that was like 14 years ago, Mace.
You do not know the depths of which my collection dives.
Oh, I can imagine. But as far as Jericho and Ziggler goes, I'm with you 100%, Mace. I don't give a damn who they turn baby face and who they keep heel. I just want these two guys put in the ring and say, okay, guys, you got 15 minutes. Let's see what you got.
15 minutes? Fuck, give them 20 to 30.
Well, you know, for TV, you'll give them 30 minutes on a paper.
Yeah, you give them 30 at a pay-per-view. TV, give them 10 minutes. Give us a taste, and then add a stipulation, you know, last man standing or something at a pay-per-view, and that's where you really take it to town.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just, I truly am looking forward to this feud. I'm thinking that it's going to be quite enjoyable and a lot of fun to see what these two guys can do, because we're all in agreement that Dolph Ziggler is an up-and-comer, and he should be breaking through that glass ceiling practically just about any time. And with possibly the exception of Omega, Jericho, I still think, is an elite enough name. Let's face it, he's the day he retires, he's announced for the Hall of, you know, for the WWE Hall of Fame, whatever that means to anybody. But
I don't know about that one.
He'll go in, but he won't be in the year he retires.
Yeah, it won't be an edge situation or anything like that. You know, unless it's like an injury forcing him out. Okay. It's like no one goes into the Hall of Fame after retirement because, well, my band had a gig that week.
Okay, you do have a point there, but essentially you understand what I'm talking about, though. It's like Chris Jericho broke through that glass ceiling with his debut promo against The Rock, I think, back in 1999. And he's been at the very top, along with guys like Triple H and Shawn Michaels and everybody else, at least in his first and second run through. And he's been used very ably and capably to get other people over, to give them that rub, and it's been very successful. I think that him giving Ziggler, quote-unquote, that rub is still going to be just as effective as if it was something that happened like 5 years ago. So, but that being said, now we're going to take that break. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, tell everybody, wake the neighbors, get them to tune in. We got a whole bunch more coming up, including, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun, the WTR Roundtable right on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this.
I'll never see any side of heaven. A blaze in hell. It doesn't matter what you think I'm supposed to be, because I myself know all too well.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow pea.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
fried
rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside.
not tomato, vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Braxar in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack. Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Are you ready? Yeah, you know this. You think you can tell us what to do, huh? You think that you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready and bow to the masters. Bring it down.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on Sunday night on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And coming in with a bit of DX music. Sets
the worst remix ever.
Yeah, ruined one of my favorite themes there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was less than the best that we've heard. But it does set up the WTR Roundtable, Rock.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
And just a heads up to Kane Kettens, that's the only time we'll be playing that one tonight.
This is where you introduce what the question of the night is, Tim.
Well, I was just about to. You've got to quit doing that because, you know, I'm here. I'm just about to
dead
ask the question.
It is not good.
I was drinking. Give me a break. Anyway,
here
it is.
You just had one.
Well, I had another one.
You're always drinking, Tim. It's not an excuse anymore.
Which is weird because I never touched the stuff. Anyway.
Bullshit.
No kidding. Here's the WTR roundtable for tonight. Since Hollywood is so into doing reboots, it's time to reboot DX with a brand new, and I'm doing air quotes, cast. Mace, start with you.
I don't think you could really reboot DX for this day and age.
Reimagine them?
Even reimagined, you're still losing the core fundamentals of the group, which was they were meant to be an anti-establishment group that would do whatever the hell they want and say whatever the hell they want, which does not work on television in this day and age, especially live television. But if I'm forced to do a recast, for some reason I have Kofi and R-Truth as the new Age Outlaws. I don't know why.
Yeah, that works.
I've been trying to think about this all night, and I really can't pick anyone to really see. I would have liked to have put Punk in the role of Hunter, but as we said before, he's been in a lot of stables already, so he doesn't need to be in another one.
Wow, this doesn't really legitimately count, so you can do it.
Well then, yeah, I'd probably put Punk in the Triple H style role where he's the mouthpiece.
Okay.
For some reason, I have Del Rio in the Shawn Michaels spot.
Okay.
I don't know why, which would probably make Ricardo X-Pac. And probably Beth Phoenix in the China role.
Okay.
It's pretty much everybody.
There you go. Yeah, Lindsay, tweak what Mace presented or give your own.
I was actually thinking, because Rock and I got a hint at this question last night. So, I was actually thinking, since this doesn't count, Crime Time in the New Age Outlaws. I don't know why. Punk in the Hunter role. Ziggler probably either in the Shawn or X-Pac role. And then I need one more. I don't know why, but Sheamus. So.
And that's yours.
Yeah, that's mine.
Omega.
Well, you got Kofi and R-Truth. Okay, you can have a New Age Outlaw equivalent, yes. But I think you missed the obvious one, who the new X-Pac is, and that's another one of Kofi's former tag partners, Evan Bourne. Yeah, he can high fly. He's a little guy. He can high fly, and he gets caught for marijuana possession from time to time.
Okay. Little Jimmy is the new X-Pac.
The hard part is finding, like, you know. Yeah, Punk would make an obvious leader, but I don't know if he would actually want to follow in those types of footsteps. I'm trying to think who would work in. God, if the guy wasn't a heel, I'd cast Ziggler. Because that was the whole idea of DX in the first place, was, you know, that's what elevated Triple H to where he ended up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it started out as, you know, it was supposed to be a heel group, and it just got really freaking popular.
popular to the point where Triple H was getting the girls in the audience to flash their headlights.
It was my favorite incarnation, by the way.
That was good.
Maybe not necessarily for that reason, but...
This is probably one of the hardest roundtable questions we've ever had, I think.
Yeah. See, the only hard part with a reboot of DX is I wouldn't want to do the exact same thing. The reason I like putting Evan Bourne in there with R-Truth and Kofi is because one of the things about the original DX they didn't emphasize enough. They did once Billy Gunn left the group for a while, when he went to the one Billy Gunn. That worked so well for him.
Oh, that was just right up there with Mr. Ass.
Well, you had X-Pac and Road Dogg teaming, and it was okay. So, if you had something similar to like a demolition group where you could have a three-man tag team that was interchangeable, that would give you something new rather than being stuck with, okay, these guys are our official tag team, this is our official cruiserweight and our official heavyweight champion. I'm done. You can move on now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this here, and I like Kofi and R-Truth as the new age outlaws. For X-Pac, one name that nobody's even brought up, Tyson Kidd. You want the high flying and all this other stuff? Well, that's him.
He doesn't have enough grunge to him to be X-Pac.
No, but he can grow that thing that he had on his head. He can grow that on his chin. But you know, as a reboot and a reimagining and re-envisioning, you could give it to Tyson Kidd just for the athleticism and the ability to take on the bigger guys and prevail. The one, you know, I agree with Beth. Phoenix could be China and CM Punk is Triple H. The one thing that I'm having a really, really, really tough time is trying to nail down who would take Shawn Michaels' role.
I don't technically think you need that since he's technically not in that incarnation of DX. Literally, Monday night was the only time we've ever seen it.
Yeah. But still, you know, as a DX member, past or present, I'd like to see, instead of being the smart ass guy running around and cracking inanities and flashing your keister on the TV in the back room, make it a little more cynical and darker. Go with The Miz.
Okay, so he's ditched the frohawk. He actually looks serious now, and now is the time to put him in with the degenerates.
Yeah, and make him make him stand out because he's not looking, you know, weird and freaky and stuff like that. He's the misfit, or if you will, misfit. Sorry, had to.
You didn't really have to.
Well, it was a little bit too obvious for me not to. You know that. So now that we've all done that, and it's not been the easiest question, I'm with Mace. You can't really do a today's version of DX and get away with it.
Pretty much, because as we saw on last Monday night, they pretty much just went for the sophomoric jerks. But then again, that's what they used to do. It's just that they were a little bit riskier back in the day compared to now.
Yes, exactly.
PG.
Sucks.
All PG.
Sucks. But that being said, let's move on. And Mace, yeah, I'd like to talk to you. Go ahead, Omega.
The irony, and I just realized, is who remembers the fake presidential promo that Shawn and DX, that Shawn and Triple H cut?
Oh, I swear, yeah. I didn't sleep with that woman. I was up all night.
Well, yeah, when Hunter's going on, you know, there will officially be less profanity and less dick jokes. That's exactly the DX we have now.
How prophetic. Exactly. Good catch, Omega.
It's like he could predict the future or something.
That's freaky how life imitates art, imitates life, yeah. But speaking about good catches, Mace, didn't you get invited to some kind of a party or something over the weekend?
Well, yeah. For those of you who listened to The Rack last Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com, would notice that right at the end of the show, I made mention that I might have scored myself a little bit of an invite to the THQ offices in Australia. It turns out, exactly just after we went off the air, I got an invite saying, by all means, come along, here's our address, WWE 13 is waiting.
Ooh.
That's right, I have actually had my hands on WWE 13 already.
You bastard.
What this ended up being, this was a press and community night for a few upcoming games, all of which, like, if you want to get full impressions of what I thought of everything that was presented on the night, go over to wildtalkradio.com. It's in the news section. I did a very long write-up of what exactly happened there. The guys at THQ were very impressed with what I did and have definitely stuck me on the list for upcoming preview nights. Basically, I went to their offices. They had beer and pizza, which is always good. And we were shown four games, two of which we were able to get our hands on. The other two were basically feature videos. The feature videos was on Company of Heroes 2, which is a real-time strategy military squad-based shooter thingy. I don't really play them, so I was more inclined on what they were doing. They were doing an environmental presentation showing winter on the Russian front during World War II and how it affected your squads, how it affected things like frozen lakes and stuff like that. It's probably the most realistic weather simulation I have ever seen in a video game. And again, more details on the website. Next up was what I called the "yeah, let's see what you got" moment of the night, which we watched basically the Xbox 360 demo of South Park: The Stick of Truth. This was the demo that was available to most people at E3 on the Microsoft booth's floor that was not used during the presentation. And yeah, great writing. Brilliant jokes, looks exactly like the show. This is pretty much the South Park game that everybody has wanted. And it was so much, like, it impressed me enough that I was willing to go and throw a pre-order down the next day from a "I'm going to skip this game completely" stance. So, that was basically the videos we got to see for the night.
And
then we
basically, Sorry, I was just going to say, basically, this invite got you to spend money you otherwise wouldn't have.
Pretty much.
Okay.
got me to spend probably an extra $80.
Like, you're so easy.
And Omega has exploited that flaw so many times.
I know, I've heard the stories, and I've never failed to be impressed.
Your wallet is going to be in therapy before long. I hope you realize this.
My wallet's already in therapy after the Steam sale. $190 US. Yours is in traction, Omega, I know that.
No, mine's in permanent abuse counseling.
Yeah, so Omega and his... I got Bruticus.
Oh, I'm thinking of doing something worse to it.
Oh, no. Tell me after the show, most definitely.
It might be. It might be.
Sweet!
She keeps pushing for you to get that goddamn Rodimus.
It's Rodimus Prime!
It's $210! Even I am hesitant to spend that much on a toy.
I still want that Agent Coulson doll. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Carrying on.
Tim brought up geek shit. He knew what he was getting into.
Oh, I did. That's why I just kept my mouth shut. Just, yeah, okay, there you go. I just needed to kill an extra 5 minutes.
But after we got through with the video presentation, we got down to the hands-on portion of the night. This was mainly a preview night for Darksiders 2, which is coming out mid-August. So I got to play that eventually. But of course, out of like... what do we have? 2, 4, 6... 7 machines running Darksiders 2, and only 2 machines running WWE 13. Guess where my butt was planted most of the night?
Darksiders 2.
That was good, actually. Quite surprising. Looks absolutely gorgeous. The reason for which... I found out later was due to the dropping of the UFC license. You'd actually be surprised how much the guys at THQ love the fact that they got rid of the THQ license to EA, because now they have more time and money to spend on other projects. Plus, WWE brings them more money than UFC ever did. So yeah, Darksiders 2, basically your God of War clone, but with a lot more, well, from the preview build, it was a lot more ice, as most of it did take place in an icy setting. But it absolutely looked beautiful, handled like a dream, even with the goddamn 360 controller, which I hate to death. But of course, nobody really gives a flying fuck about Darksiders 2. I know you all want to hear WWE 13.
Yes, tell us about WWE 13. We need to know.
It's a wrestling game.
Oh, thank you.
No.
Yeah.
No, wait.
No spoilers.
Wait, WWE 13 is a wrestling game?
I know. Shocking, isn't it?
I thought it was a baseball game. Okay, continue.
Yes, because I'm going to screw you out of $1,000,000.
Well, if Pete Rose was playable, you never know.
I don't know. We might be getting to that area pretty soon.
Yeah, we have a celebrity wing of WWE video games now.
We do.
Pete Rose versus Drew Carey.
Oh, God.
I'd only allow Drew Carey in my video games only if I could choke slam him as Kane 8,000 times.
And give him a fiery Bernie death.
Totally.
Hey, I like the improv show.
I like the improv show, but the rest of the things he's done, I'm sorry, they just don't make up for it. He ruined The Price is Right. He must die.
But anyway, getting back to WWE 13 for a moment. Basically, controls are exactly like you found in WWE 12, with a few slight tweaks here and there. It actually tells you whether you're too fast or too slow on your reversals, so now you actually learn the timing of reversals a lot better. Which, thank God for that, because it was driving me insane! One of the biggest gameplay features that they have down on their little fact sheet that they emailed me was this WWE Live feature, which is the crowd reacts properly with what's going on in the ring. Either I wasn't listening properly or it wasn't implemented in the build that I was playing, but I couldn't tell the difference.
I saw the new trailer, you can tell the difference.
Oh, you can tell the difference in the trailer, yes, but when I actually had my hands on it, I couldn't. Probably because I was more focused on what I was doing as the characters in the ring than actually when I watched the video.
Okay.
The new models for the larger guys like Undertaker, Mark Henry, Big Show is very impressive. Mm-hmm. They actually look a lot bigger instead of like just, oh look, they're just like stretched a little bit further.
About time.
Yeah. the surprising moments that they touted in their latest video, which we can post. I do have media permission to post that video. They very surprising, but some of them, unless you know exactly how to trigger them, they will not trigger. I was able to spear Jericho through a barrier at ringside, but it brings you straight back into the arena floor. You can't go out into the crowd and brawl, unfortunately.
Boo.
I know, I was hoping for something like that.
But yeah, me too. They had that in one of the previous games where there was a little area.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody will find a way to glitch it.
Yeah.
I did try by playing a Big Show Mark Henry match to break the ring. Couldn't do it.
Aww.
Kept throwing Mark Henry in the corner. I had all the conditions right. I just couldn't trigger the way to do it. Just wouldn't work. And Lindsay's going to be happy. Undertaker is in it. In his 90s gear.
Does he have the full goatee or just the goatee, no mustache?
It's basically an exact was about 96 before the corporate ministry.
Okay, so he has the normal look. Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't come down in the robe at this point in time. I don't know whether they're going to implement that later or whether they're saving that for the current Undertaker look.
Super sure.
They do. They do have Mark Henry in the Nation of Domination gear.
I've seen a picture of that. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. And as I said in the article, I haven't got any new character reveals. It's the exact same as you've seen. The roster is currently up on WWE.THQ.com. It's actually pretty good. I had a lot of fun playing it. I really should have had a go as Mike Tyson, but I sort of ran out of time. Mm-hmm. But the entrances look absolutely brilliant this year. They look even more shiny. We like our shinies. So, yeah, the arena looks crisp. Everything's down to the minute detail.
I like the Deadly Games skull. They have a picture on WWE.THQ.com of the Mark Henry screenshot. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's the same one I got sent. But yeah, so by all means, go to wildtalkradio.com to read my full detailed account of what was going on that night and my impressions of each individual game, and also where to get more information and everything else. Basically, it was a big thank you to Tess and Luke for inviting me out to the THQ offices, and I can't wait to do it again. It was my first time as like a proper media person. It was quite surprising.
Mr. Bigwig now, fancy.
Yeah, sounds like you had a lot of fun. How exactly did you get, like, legitimate media status with them?
This is funny.
This was actually quite amusing. This was a friend of mine who works for GamePlanet.com.au. He tweeted out that to Luke, the community manager of THQ Australia, that he wasn't going to be able to make it to the preview night. I did a reply on my iPhone saying, can I have your spot? And because of the way the iPhone version of Twitter works, it automatically pulls up all the usernames and whatever. I forgot to delete THQ's off the end of it.
Oops. Aww.
So it, instead of it being a joke that was sent to my friend Cav, it also got sent to THQ. Next thing I know, I get a tweet from THQ going, well, since he's not going, there's an open spot. Do you want it? And I'm like, yes?
Yeah, right there. When is it now, huh?
When is it? 2 hours? It's going to take me an hour and a half to get there? I'm out the door!
He was. He literally signed off the show Thursday night, and he's like, bye!
He found how to get there and was like, see you guys, I'm gone.
Sweet.
So I went and I was talking to people from GameRankings.com, Total Mortal Kombat, who was there to take a look at the Darksiders stuff, a and a few other gaming websites. And yeah, basically I spent the entire night being a shill for the Wild Talk Radio Network.
He's learning, Tim. He's learning.
That's impressive.
We need to get him a business card now.
Business cards would have been good. It would have saved a lot of fucking hassle.
We'll get them. We have some. We can give you. We'll send you a copy of it.
Yeah, we can modify our business cards and then send it to you. Just get them printed off.
That's easy done.
Easy.
So yeah,
easy.
Hopefully, I did make a few connections that night. Hopefully, this will result in a few extra invites out to other companies, other events. As most of the other sites that were there were quite impressed that I was a part of a internet radio group, and also the fact that we had so much connections to the wrestling business. Like, I actually surprised Luke and Tess by mentioning the fact that we had only just talked that week to Cassidy Riley and Chase Stevens, who did the motion capture work for WWE 13. They're like, oh shit. So you already know stuff about this game. I'm like, we weren't told anything, but I've only seen what I've seen in videos. And they're like, well, here, controller, have fun.
Yeah, we just talked to them. Like, 2 days before, 2 days prior, we talked to them on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. You can check out the archive.
Who would have ever thought that anybody doing anything on the Wild Talk Radio Network would actually have any clout to do anything? Think about it.
No, what was even funnier was I was saying to Rock on Tuesday night, we need to get a hold of somebody from THQ so we could try and get either a preview or a review copy of the game.
We did have this conversation. And well, 2 days later, there you go.
Bingo.
So yeah, check out Mace's article on the front page of WildTalkRadio.com.
There we go. Yeah, and
videos and whatnot whenever Rock can be bothered, because I'll just send him the email with all the links.
Yeah,
sounds good. Well, thanks for relating your ordeal at THQ, and sorry you had to go through it, Mace.
Oh, it was so terrible. You know, it really broke my heart to go and play games and get given free beer and pizza. It was just
yeah, that's just a heartrending.
We know you took one for the team, and we're so proud of you.
Yeah, totally.
Better you than I.
Yeah. Mind you, it's a shame that I never got on this list sooner, because these guys from THQ used to fly groups from Melbourne to Sydney to go to UFC events when they were in town, when they were trying to promote the UFC games.
Okay. May's taking one for the team, sort of like Leonard Hofstadter. Good job.
Thank you. Go read the article.
Listen, watch Big Bang Theory, and we'll get that.
Yeah. Ready to play some buy or sell?
Yeah, this is your little segment deal here. Why don't you explain it to everybody in case we have one or two new people who don't know exactly what you're on about.
I will after this.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
For some.
No! 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 No!
Wow, you had an extra 10 minutes on your hands, so you came up with that.
We had this last week, but you know.
I wasn't here, so shut up.
You weren't here. Anyway, you know.
Catching up.
You buy it if you like it, you sell if you don't like it. Dolph Ziggler mentioned in an interview that he thinks he should take more big bumps. Should Dolph Ziggler be taking big bumps? Omega.
Selling, because big bumps are fine if you like having a year less of your career. I mean, ask Mick Foley. Big bumps are great until, you know, you start losing teeth. And then you're pretty much done. He's moving, he's almost right there where he needs to be as, you know, a potential top card talent. it would be an idiotic move to blow that now on an injury just because you want to be big and flashy in a match.
Okay, Mace, buy or sell.
I'm probably going to sell only because Dolph's very early in his career. He still has a long way to go. He still has so many years ahead of him that he doesn't want to have to retire by the age of, you know, 40 or 45 or something because his body's so broken down from taking the big bumps. But that being said, the amount of big bumps he's taken now, that's fine. The odd one or two at a pay-per-view, not a problem. But if you're making a career out of it, you're going to end up like Foley. You know, or you're going to end up like a lot of other guys who have had to drop out due to injuries due to big bumps.
Okay, Lindsay, buy or sell. Should Dolph Ziggler be taking more big bumps, like, you know, the one he did at Money in the Bank where Tensai threw him, like, on his head?
Sell. Sell, sell, sell. Dude doesn't need to be taking any more big bumps.
Tim, buy or sell?
Oh, well, I'd buy it for the first 3 years just for the crowd pop and the reaction that he'd wind up getting for doing something so stupid. But I'd wind up selling it, like I said, three or four years down the road so he doesn't do anything stupid when he's a little bit older and his body brittles up some to shorten up his career.
Okay, buy or sell, Lindsay, first off. Velvet Sky is a big loss for the TNA Knockouts division.
I'd buy that. I mean, Velvet's not the greatest of wrestlers, but she was a good heel. She formed one half of the Beautiful People, but, I mean, just looking at their roster, they're not really doing much with it, so. But for right now, I'll buy it.
Tim, buy or sell, is Velvet Sky a big loss for the TNA Knockouts division?
No, I'd buy that. She's like an original, a TNA original, for the Knockouts division anyway. Yeah, not the greatest wrestling ability in the ring, but she brought more to the ring than most of the divas in WWE do on a regular nightly basis. She's a lot more believable, and I'm going to miss hearing Taz say what he says when she comes out and, you know, gets between the ropes.
What does Taz say?
Let the pigeons loose!
Yeah. Mace, buy or sell? Big loss?
I'd buy it. That division cannot afford to lose anyone right now. Because they're looking down the road of, we are only going to have four females left in our entire division if most of them start abandoning the company. So, yeah. Velvet Sky is a big loss, especially after losing Angelina Love, and, you know, they don't have Awesome Kong. They don't have... Basically, I think we saw 90% of their roster on Thursday night.
This is true. Omega, buy or sell? Big loss?
I would buy it if only because... Yeah, agreed. The division, which was at one time one of the best in wrestling, is sorely, sorely hurting right now. Very underutilized. Just they couldn't take any more damage as it was.
Okay. Next one up. Buy or sell, Rey Mysterio proposes a mixed tag team match featuring himself and Manny Pacquiao taking on Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Alberto Del Rio. Buy or sell, Tim?
Well, that all depends on when this match would wind up being. Any other time, sell. Something like this would have really no interest to me. As a gimmick, I could potentially buy it as long as it wasn't something that was overly long and drawn out. Otherwise, sell, sell, sell!
Lindsay, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell just because I don't know who the boxers are.
Don't worry, nobody does.
Okay.
I do.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. punched out the Big Show a few years back.
He did.
And Manny Pacquiao is the uncrowned king of the Philippines.
Oh, okay, so you got the douchebag in there? Yeah, sell that. Sell that hard.
Omega, buy or sell.
Sell. Even if they are athletes, celebrities should never try to wrestle. Sell.
Mace, buy or sell?
Selling, sold. Because, frankly, as Omega just said, keep boxes out of my wrestling ring. They do not work unless they're in some sort of guest enforcer role like Tyson was.
Or their name is Butterbean?
Well, yeah, even keep Butterbean out of that fucking brawl.
Do we have anyone we can't technically fire but still want to get rid of? Then by all means, let's bring a boxer in.
Knew I'd get that reaction.
Yeah, keep the boxers out of the wrestling ring. Keep them in the boxing ring where it's more fixed than a wrestling match.
Okay, buy or sell. We'll start with Omega. Karma as a big loss for the WWE Divas division.
Buy. I mean, she was over instantly. She was the only thing interesting in the Divas division, and it almost seemed like they were doing something interesting with the Divas, and then, you know, when Karma showed up, and then as soon as she had to bow out, the entire division bowed out with her, and really have not done anything since.
Lindsay, buy or sell? Lindsay.
Sorry, mute. Buy it. Obviously, I have to agree, she was over. We all wanted to see her. We've been clamoring for her for a year. And they mutually decided that she didn't need to be there anymore. And I think it's a huge loss.
Okay, Mace, buy or sell?
Shut up and take my money. I don't really know what to say on top of what has already been said. She was a huge loss for the company. The entire division has crashed and burned since she left.
Mm-hmm.
So her leaving obviously killed a lot of storylines that they had planned. The division has suffered, and then they go and release her afterwards. Well, by the way, I'd like to say I was right. I called as soon as she was ready to come back to action after the whole pregnancy thing. They get rid of her. I was right. But yeah, big loss for the division.
Why don't you just stroke your ego some more then?
Well, he has to. You sure as hell won't.
Ooh.
Tim, buy or sell?
Well, like May said, shut up and take my money. This is absolutely, probably the dumbest thing they've done with the Divas division since hiring professional models to wrestle. So many things they could have done. They could have actually re-legitimized what they had. It's just 100% total blind stupidity to release her and not bring her back.
Okay, and finally, we'll start with Tim on this one.
Figures.
This was a topic you brought up. Anyway, Alex Riley should be de-pushed because he stood up to John Cena.
Sell! It is absolute bullshit that he would wind up on the receiving end of a burial, even worse than a burial, not even getting used on any kind of a semi-regular basis, just because he told John Cena to fuck off because Cena was being an asshole and a prick and a cocksucker in the back room in front of the boys because, hey, I'm John Cena, five moves of dooms, I'm Super Cena, you can't see me! Fuck you, John Cena.
Wow.
Alright, Lindsay, you spoke up. Buy or sell?
Sell. I mean, you know, that's out of all the reasons to de-push someone, that's kind of stupid. But then again, we don't know what Cena pulled, and we don't know what Riley really said, but just the general concept of a guy can't take a joke, so we're going to ruin his career, that's a little petty. I'm sorry. Get over yourself. Move on.
Omega by herself.
Jeez. Vince McMahon invented petty. This is the man who bought out entire companies just so he could shame them.
WCW, anyone?
WCW, ECW. I'm fully in agreement. Sell this. This was so stupid. It's childish and spoiled is what it is.
Okay. Mace, buy or sell?
Sell. Stupid reason is stupid.
Simple to the point. That was buy or sell, which now brings us to what, Tim?
It is now time to square off on the great debate.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking,
are you ready?
Now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
As we continue on the Great Debate, up first this week we have Taz taking on Jeff Jarrett. Start with Lindsay, Taz, or Jeff Jarrett.
Is there an option C?
No.
Come on, there's always an option C.
But not in this case.
God damn it. Jarrett, because I'm more familiar with it.
Okay. Omega.
Really? You're gonna put the censored version of his music in this one?
Censored? What do you mean censored?
We can't use The Rock anymore. So instead we're going to edit in another word from the song and ruin the rhyme scheme.
Huh?
Jarrett's original theme has a shot at The Rock at the very beginning. He's not dead, he ain't The Rock.
Oh, okay. I don't know. This one came off their album. I don't know. Do I have to find the one that has, you know, that has the shot in it?
Well, it doesn't matter. Either way, you picked the wrong theme on both. Taz, you know, Taz's ECW theme really isn't anything special to begin with.
Okay, pick one then.
Fine, I'm picking Jarrett. It's got it was a good heel theme for him. It has a very Vince McMahon, I rule the world type theme to it.
Okay. Mace.
I'm going against the flow here, and I'm going to pick Taz. Mainly because of the way it represents characters. Taz's is, you imagine this dude who is just coming out to kick some ass. That is exactly what the theme does. Jarrett's basically is Jeff Jarrett's wanking himself off song. And frankly, I'd rather take somebody kicking ass over jerking themselves off.
Okay. Tim.
Rather colorful way of putting it, but I gotta agree with Mace. Taz, his music. It's Taz. That's all you need to know. Jeff Jarrett, hey, look at me. I can't play guitar or sing, but I'm gonna pretend to. And then lose to China.
Which, if you would like...
We're not judging that.
Which, if you
would like... I know, but that's what's stuck in your head.
And if you would like to see that match, go to wildtalkradio.com/WTRS. We have a good old time with that one.
Yeah, don't destroy my subtle setup for the show for WTRS or anything.
You didn't know what was on there.
Oh, shut up and did so.
No, you didn't.
Shut up and did so.
Liar.
Prove it.
I know you didn't see it. Who did the commentating on that one? And there we go.
Oh, he's busy yawning right in the middle of that goddamn question. Shut up. Anyway, moving on.
So, we're waiting for the chat room is even going back and forth. We have one Jarrett, we have one Taz. So that, you know, anyone else in the chat room, if you'd like to, you know, chime in, break the tie.
There's another one for Taz, I think.
No.
No, it's one, still one each.
Yeah. Second line, same comments.
So what happens if we get a draw?
Wait a minute. Now we got two for Taz. Okay, Taz wins and moves on.
All right, Taz wins. Because according to the chat room, if anyone else is in there, I want to put out your opinion really quick.
Unless you vote for Taz.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Polls are closed.
There you go, Taz wins.
All right, Taz moves on. Up next, Mick Foley's Wreck. Versus Dude Love. First, we ask Omega.
Mick Foley or Mick Foley?
Why don't you pick Mick Foley? Unless you want to pick Mick Foley.
No, it's Mick Foley and Dude Love, you know.
But still, pick Mick Foley.
Something always bugged me about the Dude Love theme. I mean, it fits him, but it's something about that high-pitched whining starting it off. It just never really fit my ears right. But starting a song with a car wreck is pretty much perfect for Mick Foley. Especially when you follow it with a very, you know, this is kind of like the Wild Thing song, but not really type music. It works all around.
Alright, so one for Foley. Lindsay.
I'm going to go with Mick Foley. I've never really cared for Dude Love's song, even though I love the character. And Foley's theme with the car crash and everything, it's a little iconic for me because, again, it's that nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got to go with Foley. It just fits him too well.
Okay, Mace.
I'm going with Dude Love, baby. I personally, I just love the music. It's boppy, it's silly, it's exactly what Dude Love was. Wreck, in my mind, is the song that ruined mankind. If people remember, Foley started using this back when he donned the shirt and tie and started destroying the Mankind character. This took away the crazy Mankind and replaced him with Mick Foley with a stupid mask on his face. So I'm gonna go with Dude Love only because it represents a better character.
Tim?
Well, you know, I can understand going for Dude Love, and it's all great, and it's fun, and it's cheesy, but the problem is there's just a little too much cheese, and it just, too many negative flashbacks about 70s and disco. So, my choice... is Wreck.
Ow.
Leave rock to the music, please. Plus, the only reason why you get horrible memories about the 70s is because you're the only one member on this panel that was fucking there.
Blah, 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 blah.
You set yourself up for that one.
Yeah. He didn't have to follow through just because he was capable of doing so.
I'm sorry, you pitched me the slow fly ball. I've got to take a swing.
So tonight, Taz moves on over Jeff Jarrett, and Mick Foley beats his other personality in Dude Love. Have a nice day. Next week, Ravens Come Out and Play versus Sting's Crow, and Ric Flair versus Tommy Dreamer's Man in the Box.
That's welcome to yet another easy week of the great debate here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well,
you love this.
How long is this going to go for, by the way?
We're still in the first round.
Oh, shit.
Another 6 months.
Oh, God. another 6 months till we get to the second round?
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
By the way, the great debate, I really, after hearing our last matchup of Foley versus one of his personalities, I need to go. I know they did it in one of the games. I want the one where I can do a matchup between Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mankind, and Mick Foley.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
If I could record it and put commentary to it, I would.
Okay. Mace, we'll start with you. What Olympic sport do you think you would do well in?
What Olympic sport do I reckon I would do well in? Quite easy. Shooting.
How come?
I've handled rifles before. Mm-hmm. I'm actually very proliferant with firearms.
That's a
and
great.
All those years of playing Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 and all those other first person shooters would finally come in handy.
I thought your practice with Duck Hunt would, you know, set you up for stuff like that.
No, that
only if
me.
I could shoot.
Remember?
That goddamn dog.
goddamn dog. That's why I never played Duck Hunt, is because of that goddamn dog. The original troll.
Yeah, pretty much. That dog was the original troll.
The one that taught all the forum posters how to do it.
And let me guess, that question was inspired by a recent Funny or Die video clip featuring Rob Van Dam and Kurt Angle?
No way.
No, actually, no.
I love that one, by the way.
That was
a funny ass video clip.
That really is.
Go and find it.
It is. But this whole thing has a theme. So, Lindsay, if the Undertaker were to compete in an Olympic sport, what sport would it be and why?
How many wives you can have in 30 seconds?
That's not an Olympic sport.
Damn it. I'm going to go with the martial arts, whatever it is, judo, I think it is.
Judo.
Just because he's into that MMA crap, so...
Okay.
For some reason, I could see him doing the javelin. And using Rey Mysterio as the javelin.
if it was back in his prime, I'm thinking the high jump for all those years clearing the top rope.
Yeah, that or the pole vault.
Okay. Tim, WTR joins the Olympics. Who does?
Okay, so which Olympics does it matter? Tell me it doesn't matter.
Summer. We're in the summer, so cast.
Yeah, but Canada's a winter Olympic country. I don't know anything about summer. Okay,
summer.
Swimming.
No. Each person, what sport would they do?
Huh?
You know, different members of WTR.
Tim, cast the WTR crew as individual event players in the London 2012 Olympics.
Well, you see, you should have just asked that question.
You interrupted me halfway through the question, so, eh.
Okay, summer or winter Olympics?
Summer.
Okay.
Damn. Like the Olympics we've got on right now, which seems to be the theme of the fucking question.
He seems to be going in loops so he doesn't have to answer.
Omega is the only one who's caught on. Kudos, Omega. Alright, Mace, why don't you go shoot things?
We had to pick the obvious one there.
Lindsay, why don't you...
Mace is setting his teammates on fire again.
Yeah, Lindsay, why don't you do, like, judo chops?
Okay.
I'll do swimming. And I'm going to get in trouble for this. Omega, do gymnastics.
Oh, sure. That'll work out.
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining it. Omega practicing a dance with a little floor routine and a ribbon.
Standing on his tiptoes and then, like, doing somersaults and shit.
Hey, if I get to be a national television for jumping on trampoline, fine.
Let's see, what the hell else is there? Rock, you can do the relay.
Sweet. What would you have Alan do?
Oh, fuck.
He can be the walker that lights the Olympic flame.
I was actually going to say water boy, but you're not going to let me do that, are you?
No. Water boy is not an Olympic sport.
Alan would try to do his damnedest to make it one. What the hell could Alan do? Pole vaulting.
And Spug?
Oh, God. Cycling. Bicycling.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just...
Okay.
Yeah. Because it would be funny to see him on a bicycle.
So, Omega, cast the Avengers in Summer Olympic Sports.
Huh.
Okay, who does shot put?
Obviously. Hulk.
Thor does the hammer throw.
Mm-hmm. Well,
That's easy.
That's a given.
See, Captain America does discus.
Okay.
Hawkeye, archery.
Duh. I can't see that, personally.
You have to give Hulk weightlifting, I think. Iron Man's hard. Because technically, he's using illegal prosthetics.
So give him the long jump.
He's the coach.
If I had to put him in an Olympic sport here.
If anybody was going to be the coach, it'd be Coulson or Fury.
Yeah, Fury would have to be the coach.
Is that everyone?
No, he's still trying to work out Iron Man and Black Widow.
Huh? Yeah, well, No, Black Widow.
One at a time, kids. One at a time.
No, Black Widow could do gymnastics. God. You know, and all those things that Tony Stark listed off that he was without his suit, not a single one of them was athletic in any sort of way.
Actually, like Real Kane's Kittens suggests in the chat room, he could do skeet shooting. I'm sure he could hit a target quite well.
You don't want to see Iron Man play table tennis?
Actually, yeah.
God, that would be amusing.
We're synchronized swimming.
No.
Yes.
No.
Put the man in the very heavy suit of armor in a swimming pool. Yeah. Smart move there.
We can do. No, he can do the high dive. He can do the high dive, and as soon as he's about to hit the water, he just turns the jets on and just glides into the water. Doesn't make a single splash.
Because you lose points for splashes.
He rusts, but we win gold.
There you go. Mace, what either WWE Diva or TNA Knockout mother-daughter combination would make the best reality show?
WWE... Okay, so we got Divas or Knockouts...
You take Knockout or Diva, and then you combine them with their mother, and which do you think would make the best reality show?
I'd say Beth Phoenix and her mother. Because I don't know why, but I just love to see the parents' reaction to Beth's workout routines.
Okay.
Forget Beth. What about ODBs?
No, we've already seen that on television too many times.
See, if that was my question, I would have picked Natty just because, well, I know her mother. And I know what they're like together.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that, but yeah.
Shocker, Tim. Shocker.
Well, yeah, but that would make a good reality show. Those two.
Okay.
Just saying.
Lindsay, this was sent in. Who would you marry? You have the choice of... This was from Jersey Girl. Hornswoggle, Puppet H, or Mae Young's son?
Puppet H! Duh!
I know, that was an easy one.
Okay, tell me that Mae Young's son would come in a close second.
He would, just because I bet he gives great hand jobs.
I was about to say, he'd be pretty handsy.
But,
Wait! Why does he need to? You know what? Never mind. I'm not. I don't want to know.
By the way, did we ever get Omega's reaction to Lita and her protection on Raw?
No. No.
I mentioned the APA without even grazing over Lita.
We're so proud.
Okay.
Well, it's probably a good thing you didn't graze Lita. Lord knows what you might have caught.
Oh no, my day's been bad enough. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, it's only going to get worse.
A whole new meaning to contact sports.
Tim, Raw hit 1,000 episodes. WTR is what, 400, 500 episodes at this point?
Well, let's see. No, I don't think so. Not quite that many.
It's got to be that many, isn't it?
Well, you figure there are 300. Okay, April of 1990. Here we go. April 2004.
Okay.
Till April 2012. Uh-huh. There's 365 days, 52 weeks, so there's about, say, 50 a year. for, what was that? 84 is 12. So 50 times 8. So, okay, yeah. 400 and change.
Okay. What is your favorite, what is your favorite moment in the history of WrestleTalk Radio?
Oh, God. Something that probably nobody here will ever know or remember. But when we were the original cast, we had a guy called Dr. Maybrick on the show.
I remember him.
And we had a guest host, Slam Wrestling writer, Jason Clevitt. And we started talking about stuff concerning Virgil and how he got his job and Pat Patterson. And this was after we talked about Stu Hart stretching people in the dungeon. And Jason Clevitt related a story to us about how allegedly Virgil got his job, which was flopping it out in front of Pat Patterson onto Pat Patterson's desk for Pat Patterson to take a look at, you know, it. And you know what it is, I'm assuming. And the entire thrust of the story that Clevitt was telling us was they were at some convention or some place where people involved in wrestling were signing autographs. There's Pat Patterson. They talked to him for a bit, walked away, and one of the people in his entourage yelled out, "It's a shame. It's terrible what you did to Virgil." And from there, we started talking a little bit more about Virgil and Pat Patterson, and out of nowhere, I don't really remember 100% the complete setup, but just out of the blue, Dr. Maybrick said, "Well, maybe Pat stretched him." And that's it. We all just lost just because of the topic conversation.
That's a good one.
And it was the funniest guy. I swear to God, 20 minutes of nothing but us laughing our asses off on live air. We could not stop laughing. It just could not, couldn't. We just couldn't go on.
Okay.
It was one of those things you would laugh to hear.
I bet. Time to ask the final question to Omega. Tonight, Omega, we want you to play the part of, you know, either Paula Abdul, Randy Jackson, Simon Cowell, okay? You have to be our judge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should stop this for a second. I need to play audio. Coming up, it's been the anniversary this week. It's 20-something years since a certain someone sung the national anthem. So you have two anthems. Which is the worst? Here's your first one.
Roseanne Barr.
I think my brain just had a stroke.
I just had to take my headset off.
I didn't even need to hear that.
We don't even need to hear the second one, Rick.
I don't even care what the second one is. It ain't worse.
Here you go.
Oh, oh, say can you see. Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
That's Carl Lewis. So, which one is worse?
No. It is Roseanne Barr.
Simple.
It's not even remotely in the concert. Okay, so big deal. The guy couldn't hit the high notes. And he was apparently trying to sing along to Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star Spangled Banner, but at least his voice does not cause women and children to cry
or eyes to bleed.
God, that God, Roseanne Barr's singing could spade a dog.
So they
just neutered my cat.
So there you go. That was Quick Hits on their Sunday night here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, and that brings us to the end of the show. I'd like to thank once again PW Mania for hosting all of the original daily programming we have here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we urge you to check them out, those of you who aren't listening to us through their embedded player. We've got a request. We're going to see what we can do about changing a chat room around and see if we can embed a chat room over there as well.
Taken care of, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll talk about that later. And I just want to say, don't forget, check out the Raw post-show tomorrow night with Rock, Mace, Lindsay, whoever else shows up to talk about what happened on the first three-hour Raw after Raw 1000.
I'd rather hear Roseanne singing again.
No, you wouldn't.
Shut up. Sick.
No, you can't.
Because he'll play the damn thing. Don't encourage him.
Can I just call in dead?
You don't even call in for that show, so it doesn't matter.
well, it's the same thing, so I'm okay.
Okay. Well, all right. Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, we got another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with your host, Alan Wojcik. Alan's guest this week.
It's 2 hours of Alan and Spug talking the news and whatever else is on their minds.
Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And they go live Wednesday night at, I do believe it's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
There you go.
Yeah. Thursdays, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Don't you do a show with your rack?
I do a show with my rack, and ironically, it's called The Rack.
Lindsay shows her rack on Thursday.
Yeah, we cover Impact, and we might have a guest this week, so stay tuned.
Oh, whoa, might have a guest? No hints? You gotta drop hints.
No, we can't drop hints, because it's not confirmed fully yet for Thursday.
Yeah.
God damn. Well, you had Eric.
Unlike other shows that like to post guest lists and then have guests drop out on them, The Rack doesn't like to promote false hope.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We might have a guest, but we will definitely be talking about Impact and all the news of the week. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. And it looks like possibly there's an outside chance this Friday night that we're going to take a look at the decades in music, starting with the 1980s on Friday night. Now, that's not 100% confirmed. Stay tuned to the website for further information and updates. If not this Friday, the next Friday. And, of course, Saturday night around midnight, or as close as I can get to it, depending on whenever anybody decides to call in or wake up or whatever. CB Radio Rock.
Weird, wacky, unusual. You never know what we're going to talk about. We talked a variety of subjects last night, and you can check out the archive at wildtalkradio.com and go back and listen to the interview with Eric Young we did on The Rack from this past Thursday at wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a great week. See you next week.
By the way, check out WTRFs at wildtalkradio.com/WTRFs.
Wildtalkradio.com.